lockdown's over, should we go out and do something on the weekend?
I mean, the new Spider-Man movie's coming out.
Oh, that's true. And then...
Nothing?
Great idea.
Hey, could you see Spider-Man, please?
Sure thing. Can I just see the vaccination certificates first, please?
Of course.
Here you go.
My parents haven't let me get vaccinated yet.
I mean, you're over 14. You don't actually need to get their permission.
I don't.
Want to go do it now? Go on a backstay?
That's not fun.
Ooh, let's go.
Hi, darling. Ready for your vaccine today?
Yeah.
Can I just see your arm?
See, that wasn't too bad, was it?
No, thank you.
By the way, in the waiting room, I think you have any issues. Here you go, I bet you can see next time.
State-enforced homosexuality, vaccine passports, vax dates, Muslims skipping on rainbows. I don't know if you're like me and you wonder, what the fuck is even happening right now? That was a video, I think, from the Australian government or from some advocacy group reminding people that instead of having sex, which lesbians don't have a lot of, you can actually spend your dates reminding minors to get vaccinated without their parents' consent. In fact, not only should you get vaccinated without your parents' consent, but this should become a normal thing. They're trying to normalize this idea of making it romantic to go get a vaccine. And to talk about a lot of this, I have my guest in the studio today, John Doyle from Heck Off Commie. Welcome to Slightly Offensive for the first time. We've never had you here. How do you like being on the show?
I'm super excited. I've been a huge fan of the content for a very long time. So to make my debut has always been something of a dream of mine. So yeah, super excited.
Like a fever dream, right? We've been talking about doing some content together for quite some time.
Yeah. No, I remember you were actually one of the first bigger channels to leave comments on my videos.
Really?
Back when I got started about 6 months ago. So, yeah, I'm super excited. I'm sorry if I'm coming off as nervous.
No, I know. You told me you were going to try not to fangirl on the show, but I'm fangirling for you because obviously I've been wanting to meet you for a while too. This is a new thing, a new experience. And of course, you and I are both I'm getting nervous because you know who we have on the show today. We've been trying to make this happen. Oliver Budizzoni, welcome to Slightly Offensive.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah, great to be here.
I'm nervous. I honestly am. But most importantly, not because of Aldo. It's because of, guess who's producing the show today? Savannah Hernandez from the Rapid Fire Podcast.
What's up, guys?
Oh, my gosh. It's so good to see you guys. On that note, we have a lot to talk about insanity. My name is Elijah Schaefer. I'm your top 17 host here on Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have confetti of color in our faces. That's what John asked me for. He said, can you get me that COC in my face? And I said, of course I can. We are talking about the insanity going on in the world. People have gotten crazier. And of course, in the insane world, guess what I got, John? John, I got you a tack pack. If you don't know what tack pack is, can you open this up
you
right
got
now?
Me a tack
I got
pack?
You a tack pack. Can you please? I put it there. Yeah. It is essentially, this is a tack pack, is a amazing thing. It is a premier monthly subscription box for supporters of the Second Amendment. This is crazy. Look at what's inside there. What did we get?
So we've got, this looks like a single stack double stack 9mm magazine. We have
Tomahawk. We've got it on the floor.
Those are pins. We've got that looks like a P-Mag for
an AR. Yeah.
This is a baton. Good stuff. This looks like some sort of target device.
All right, we can stop there.
No, why?
Why? Okay. If you want this, if he's looking at it, look, each month
you get some tactical t-shirts.
It's true. I actually gave you the sweater. We got that really nice 9-line sweater.
How do I look?
No, amazing. Amazing. Guys, if you want to get all this amazing stuff, each month you get a box of tactical and self-defense goodies delivered straight to your door. They send out AR-15 parts, tools, and accessories, as well as survival gear, knives, and more. For just $49.95 a month, you get at least $100 worth of gear from different companies like 5.11, Sons of Liberty, Gunworks, Mission First Tactical, Arma Spec, and more. They also send out AR-15 parts and accessories, EDC tools, knives, and other essential gear to keep you prepared. Go to tacpack.com and subscribe today and get locked in for the big value February pack. Use coupon code OFFENSIVE at checkout and you will get a free grab bag of extra tactical goodies that will ship separately from your first month's box. You can be like John, currently using a knife to undo his tomahawk. That he's like, can I have the tomahawk? We'll wait and see. Don't wait. These are flying off the shelves. What?
How are you going to take the tomahawk from me without a tomahawk?
Well, don't be like me. Make sure you have your tack pack. Don't wait. They're flying off the shelves and they have sold out before the deadline the past few months. So go to tacpack.com and sign up today. That's TACPACK.com. Offer code offensive. Honestly, that is a cool tomahawk.
It is.
We're going to need the tomahawk.
Can I stick this in your desk? Make an argument as to why I can't. It'd be good content.
Well, dude, I'm going to say this. If we watch that Vax date video again, you'll find a good use for that.
I'll put it in my skull if we watch that again.
You can throw it at me, John.
John, you need to bring the you need to bring the tomahawk on Friday's show.
It needs with to be my like, sword.
Yeah, like double fisting it. Okay, so obviously this is crazy, right? We see it in the beginning. We don't know what's going on in the world. It is getting out of control. That they are now promoting, like, this is actually state-enforced homosexuality, telling people that you should be a lesbian when you're going on a date, that the culmination of this is to be a lab rat and to convince and try to conjure the other person into getting a vaccine, specifically minors. And so they're targeting children. This is a TikTok, an ad targeting kids using gayness and vaccines, which probably are related. Everyone said vaccines cause autism. I think it's different. I mean, this doesn't surprise me, being from Australia. I don't know if this surprises you.
No, I think that there's been a problem for quite some time about lesbian women putting things into themselves, and no one really wants to have an honest conversation about it, but whether it's vaccines or other untoward props, I mean, this is just not good. And particularly when they use, you know, things like TikTok, which really is optimized for, like, getting people's attention and, you know, sort of conditioning them with all the fun sounds and dances and everything. You know, they've got these two girls. And also, like, you know, lesbian girls, they don't go to see, like, Spider-Man, I would imagine. And then, you know, let's go on a vax date and everything. And she alluded to the fact that she's, like, older than 14, but not necessarily older than, like, 18, because she did say, like...
I'm looking up Australia's age of consent right now. For no other purposes...
I would love to have a conversation about the age of consent.
I know, let me see. Australia, age of consent. This is how you go to jail. Oh, 16. So 16 is the age of consent in Australia.
Yeah, and so you've got this person who's like, oh, well, let's just go on a vax date, and it's like... this really weird sort of ritualistic thing where they're going to go, like, get this thing together, which is just, like, pledging basically allegiance to, like, the regime in Australia. And so it's all very dystopian. And, of course, to add icing to the cake, they would be a lesbian couple.
Dude, you forgot the Muslim that gave them in the hijab.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, it was, a fat black Muslim or something. I think so. I think so. Let me see this real fast. Dude. I think so. They're getting it. They have the face mask. Yeah, see, it's a black Muslim.
And, of course, she's overweight. You want to know a piece of advice that'll get this country very far. Mm-hmm. Nobody who puts anything into themselves for pleasure should hold any influence in politics. Women, fat people, or gay people, you just cut them out of the equation, and this country would be steering towards, I don't know if it'd be exactly on the right track, but it would be somewhere approximating that.
I'm a little bit more disturbed that they're going to see Spider-Man. That movie sucks.
It was terrible.
Was it bad?
Yeah. It was terrible.
Is that the Tom Holland one?
Yes.
Why was it bad?
Because, do you want to go off?
So John and I left the movie theater and we kind of just looked at each other and we didn't want to say how bad it was. At first, yeah. We were kind of like trying to gauge how the other one felt.
We didn't want to be that guy to like ruin it.
Yeah, but we kind of just like stood there for a second like,
that was bad.
Dude, that sucked. And that was horrible.
And then Patrick goes, yeah, I'm glad you guys said something. I didn't want to be the one to
say. Did you see
it.
The Eternals?
No.
The Marvel?
It relied way too heavily on nostalgia and just crappy jokes. Like John and I think you were saying that they were relying on the soy jacks in the audience. Be like, that they said it. They said it to me.
William Dafoe from the said, first Spider-Man. I'm something of a scientist myself, and it's so cheap.
I don't know if you're talking about Spider-Man or the new Matrix.
Oh no,
the Matrix was like, how about we? But I'm saying, like, even the new Matrix did the same thing. They're like, we don't have an original idea. You have to show your vaccine passport in most places to get in to watch the Matrix 4. So it already defeated its purpose by the existence of the current world.
Yeah.
So let's just take Matrix 1, 2, and 3 and cut out 20 minutes of each, use that as the first hour of the movie, and then we'll just have to do 15 minutes of screenwriting. Well, I think that's so lazy.
I think you were missing the point of that. That was actually part of the immersive experience, that everyone was taking the blue pill, and you had to take the blue pill to get into the theater to actually watch it. That was half the experience. You just don't get it, Elijah.
True.
Did you watch the Eternals was so bad. This is totally derailing. Sav, did you watch the Eternals?
I did not. I did watch the new Spider-Man, though, and yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Any Spider-Man movie, like post Tobey Maguire, just wasn't.
Those were the real. Best. Tobey Maguire were real. The best ones.
Let's be honest.
Oh, no, but I'm saying the Eternals was so bad. There was two parts in the show or in the movie where you could see the zippers on their outfits, on the costumes. So cool. You could see the zippers on the back where they zipped up the costume. You could like see the little zipper thing, like they up the, like even a costume. I don't know. Okay, well things are getting kind of ridiculous. Obviously, this is for our health, as far as safety. They make, you know, entertaining movies that are not entertaining. It's about mocking us. It's about humiliating us in our own country, ruining our institutions and our art. But it's actually gotten worse. There's a Virginia man who, I don't know if you've heard about this, are now being denied organ transplants because they're not vaccinated. So the essential thing is that for your health and safety, we're going to make sure that you don't die of COVID in the hospital, but you do die of kidney failure. Let's go ahead and I think we have, this is a video, right? Let's go and let's watch this video number 7.
Shamgar Connors from Stafford, Virginia. He has stage 5 kidney failure and is forced to be on dialysis every night. He's been on the kidney transplant list for 3 years, and he needs one soon to survive if he hopes to live. But now he is being told by the University of Virginia's Transplant Center that he is no longer eligible to receive a transplant because he is unvaccinated. He is considered, quote, inactive, meaning he couldn't get a kidney even if someone offered it to him. We have the exclusive phone call recorded by Shamgar and given to us. It's between him and a doctor at that transplant center. Listen.
Our policy is in order to have people active on the transplant list and get a transplant, you need to be fully vaccinated. So you don't want to move forward?
I'd rather die of kidney failure.
Okay. So this may be a crossroads at your evaluation, because there's not going to be any exception to that. The science is pretty clear on the vaccine.
And I just had COVID and I got over it. I'm not scared of it. It doesn't matter. It's like you have a 99.99997% chance to survive. Not like requiring
that's
a vaccine.
That's all pretty inaccurate data, but it's obviously your choice, but it's not your choice if you want to be active on the list.
Okay, we can cut that there. Your point about women stands.
What point, Elijah?
Is it like that was such a bitchy like way to like?
That's all they can do. They pretend that they haven't been biologically wired to nurture children. That's not. That's a social construct. Look at any time a woman has any sort of position, it always devolves into that bitchy, like phenotypically kindergarten-esque, like. Well, that's actually really inaccurate data, sweetie. They always devolve into this very like high state of passive aggression because that's the only way they know how to like communicate whenever they have a position of power over anybody. Even if it's this Chad who's refusing to get the vaccine because he understands. And by the way, that's really, really inaccurate data. She doesn't know that. She just kind of assumes that because everyone's still talking about this, well, it's probably true that this is like, you know, an unprecedented pandemic or whatever. Even her own government's institutions, you know, the CDC admits that data's true. He's actually correct on the data. And she's not. He's alluding to facts and logic. She's alluding to this condition propaganda framework. And he's correct. And like, yeah, of course, they're going to, you know, say that he's not eligible for that because it's about complete submission to the like biomedical regime at this point. Like there's literally no evidence to suggest that the vaccine even works, that the virus is even like a real thing, frankly. And it's like the fact that they still want everybody to get this is just so stupid. Like there's no argument for it.
What I can't get over, though, is how callous she is, right? Like, there's no sort of empathy in her voice. There's no, I understand the position you're in, and I'm so sorry that you're having to go through this. It's just, this is the policy. There's nothing I can do. And I talked about this on You Are Here the other day, that these NPCs, this attitude of this is the policy, there's nothing I can do, these are the same people, right, that are going to send us to the camps and the gulags, the same ones that say, I was just following orders. But the underlying message, too, is that if the perceived motivation for the policy is perceived as virtuous enough, there's no right that they can't take away from us, right? They say we're saving you from a pandemic and we're protecting you, so they take away our right to assemble and they close churches, right? Soon they're going to be saying, well, we're saving the environment, so we're not going to let you leave your house and drive your car because of the emissions, and we're saving the planet. You know, we're saving you from a deadly disease, so now you can't get a liver transplant. I mean, that's what it's boiling down to. It's pushing the narrative that it's so virtuous and in order to take away our fundamental rights.
Right. It's kind of interesting. I know, Savannah, this frustrates you a lot, that it's the hierarchy of saying like the vaccine and being protected from COVID, which the vaccine doesn't actually do. It it doesn't prevent infection. It doesn't prevent severe illness. Like, and this is the rotating idea where, okay, so if you get mild symptoms and you're vaccinated, they say you would have had more severe symptoms. If you have severe symptoms and you're vaccinated, they say you would have died. If you die vaccinated, we've talked about this on the show, then they will have said, well, it would have been a more painful death. And we've seen these in articles where it's more comfortable. They died more comfortably, which makes absolutely zero sense. But we watched this on the last episode, Savannah, where like the Delta's policy, the person said, they go, well, this doesn't make any sense. This doesn't make any sense. I have to lift my mask and put it back on between drinks. How do I do that when I'm holding my food? It doesn't make sense. And they go, it doesn't have to make sense. It doesn't have to. This is a policy. It's a policy. It's a standard. And I know this pissed you off from the beginning, Savannah, in the fact that it never did make sense. You knew it didn't make sense. And you've been fighting this with your typical Mexican Filipina insanity. True.
I know. You know, John always talks about women having bad attitudes. I just try to use mine for good. What can I say?
And how often does that happen?
I would say like maybe 75% of the time.
No, but that's my point, right? Like, it doesn't have to make sense. All they have to do is make it so that the perception is that it's virtuous and it's good. And that's all they have to do. And when is the right going to figure this out, right? John talks about this a lot. People don't have agency, and that's the whole reason that we need to be in power and to push our policies that we know are correct, because these NPCs will just follow anything. Literally. They will just say, I'm following orders. So we want them to follow the correct orders, the right orders. And
do we execute them, or what's the solution?
No, I love the NPCs. We want to save them from themselves.
No, they could be our guys so easily. It's because they don't know any better. It's like they literally do not have the cognitive infrastructure to understand these things. Like, they will always deviate to whatever the perceived group consensus is. And everyone knows that. Like, people are sheep. People fall in line. You know, everyone knows that. They're lemmings. But we just have to be the ones who are telling them basically what to fall in line into, and we have to trust ourselves to do that. Because for so long, the right has had this mentality of, like, well, who are we to enforce our morality on people? And who are, like, are you stupid? Do you want to lose? I went to a Stars game last week.
Do you know what hockey?
Yeah.
Oh, this is a great analogy.
Do you know what happens? This like blew my mind. Like, I'd gone to sporting events, but I'd never been so like autistically invested into politics. So I'm watching like our guys just beat the shit out of the opposite team. And then the ref calls like a penalty or whatever. And then our guys are like, boo, ref, you suck. And I'm like, they get it. Politics is all about doing favors for your friends and punishing your enemies. And it's like, they want to win, the sports team, right? And so they're doing exactly that. They're saying, well, we don't have to necessarily hold our guys to the standards, but the other guys, oh, well, they have to follow the rules because they want to win. And it's like, that's a game. They go home after. This is our whole country. If we lose, we end up in mass graves. It's not like, ah, damn it, we'll try again. It's like everything just goes away. So why would you not take that seriously? Right. And everyone always wants to talk a big game about, yeah, you know, it's about time that we fight back against these communists. We fight fire with fire. But then someone comes around and is like, hey, we should do it this way. Well, no, well, how does that make us better than them? And it's like, you don't have to be better than them. You don't have to have allegiance to principle. You have to have allegiance to your country. Very different. You have to have allegiance to your friends, not allegiance to these abstract principles or whatever. That's why you think that you're winning every time you call the left out. Oh, well, they used to say this, but now they're saying this. They're being hypocrites. They don't care. They don't believe in that because they don't have allegiance to principle. They have allegiance to winning. And we don't, which is why we've lost every battle in this country for the last 100 years. There's not one lasting victory. And until you break out of that conditioning, that is all that is going to happen.
Yeah, but it is interesting you said with the NPCs too. Is that like a good example of this? If you can go to my screen here, Savannah, I would like to just take you guys through something interesting. Ryan Holman DM'd me on, I was arguing with some journalists, or at least they, and they misspelled the word journalism too. It was like journalism or something like that. I don't know if it was on purpose, but these are some journalists and some people online. Ryan Holman was like, DM'd me and was like, what's the matter, Snowflake? Do vaccines trigger you? Which I said, no, I don't even know when I was talking about vaccines anywhere about this. Probably just posted a video. So I accepted the request because I had to just send him a picture of himself, which is always my favorite go-to.
Disgusting, dysgenic, mongrel people. That's
yes.
Gross.
It's but it's true. Like, so here's what's crazy is a lot of these people look the same. And I posted something to you, John, where I just said, they're NPCs and they always go, like, ad hominem, nice ad hominem. I sent a picture of themselves to themselves, yeah. And then they accused me of ad hominem, meaning they feel attacked because of their own appearance, therefore acknowledging that they look disgusting.
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy.
And this whole fixation on, like, logical fallacies is so stupid and sophomoric because it's like, oh, you insulted me. That means you've lost the debate and stuff. It's like, no, at a certain point, there's a limit to rational discourse. Like, for example, there are a lot of leftists who like to argue so evangelically in favor of things like abortion or transgenderism. And it's like, at a certain point, you have to wonder why they are so fixated on this. Why are they so passionate about this? And it's like, maybe it's just because they've been traumatized. Like, I'm not saying that necessarily pejoratively, but maybe this is just the reality of the situation. Same thing with, like, ugly people, talking about bodily acceptance and things like that. It's like, maybe you're advocating for that because you're like disgusting. Maybe that's actually why. And I'm not saying that like you're disgusting, therefore you're wrong, but it's trying to kind of help us arrive at the truth as to why you're so evangelically in favor of things like this. You know, there's a very esoteric right-wing theory called bio-Leninism, which is the theory that there's this, for those unfamiliar, Leninism is a form of like political strategy that you saw throughout the Russian revolutions. But it's basically like, if you can create an underclass of people who are not necessarily low class in the sense that they're impoverished, but they're low class in the sense of their genetics, they're dysgenic, they're ugly, they're fat, they're disproportionate. And a lot of this has been happening because of the way that they've like literally altered the mass endocrine systems of society through the things that they're putting in the water, things they're putting in food packaging. This is, of course, not a conspiracy theory. This is like literally true. So what you're seeing now is these people who are just disgusting and ugly. You're going to see a lot more of it in future generations. And if you can create this like class of people, the ugly against the not ugly, the mudbloods versus the purebloods, it's a very effective strategy if you want to have this sort of like mass mobilized movement against the former, occupying population of a country. And I think that that's basically what we're seeing, more or less.
No, it's actually true. So like, this is my point. You said there were NPCs that got to be on our side. It's like, so I responded with this picture. This is a classic thing that I do to people, and it destroys them. I did this to multiple people, and I admitted it's mean, but it's effective. It wins. And that's the key thing. I do it because it works, not because it's nice, because it's not about playing nice. It's about playing to win. And so I tell people, so look, he responds, yes. Like, he's like, why, yes, that's a picture of me. I see you didn't answer the question. I don't need to. Checkmate.
I see you didn't answer the question. Okay, I'll answer the question in 3 years. Hit me back in 3 years.
Yeah, hit me back. Lose 30 pounds and talk to me in 3 years,
well,
and I'll
I'm
talk
assuming
to you.
He got vaccinated too, so.
Oh, okay, yeah. So then what I sent him a picture of, he then protected his tweets because I posted his picture on my profile, which is, again, cruel, but also quite funny. And so he locked his account down. It's like, these tweets are protected. You'll always see these things with these people too, is that the boasting. Look at the the bio. It's like, YouTuber with over 40 million views. Dude, you follow 5,000 people and are followed by 1,100 people with low interaction rate. No, I'm not worried about this, but also, why are you, how'd you get 40 million views?
Like, probably I had like a toy review that went viral or something.
I was like, this show only does like 12 to 20 million views on YouTube a year. Okay. So I don't know where this guy got from. So I responded with his own tweet, and he's like, well, I don't want to be harassed by your followers. This man is communicating with pictures. Okay. Do you understand the level of cognitive dissonance here? I'm sending him images, JPEGs, and maybe these are PNGs, I don't know. And he's having a discussion with images. This is my point about, you said about how they're like easily impressionable. He comes at me, I just start sending him pictures of his own profile on his face, and he's having a conversation with pictures. He's like, I still see you haven't answered my question. Why do vaccines offend you? We'll see if you answer. As if like,
you have like, to prove something,
yeah,
to him.
So then, because he's defending this guy, which, if you can go to my screen. So I go from he, so he says, we'll offend you. So now what happened was, this other journalist guy who was attacking me on my, I basically exposed that Carhartt, the clothing company, which I don't know, this has become the show of taking down businesses. I don't know if you saw Jason Miller on Tim Pool trying to defend his company after we've drastically exposed the sham of what that company is. Well, this guy, Carhartt is doing forced vaccination and boosters and stuff for their employees. And that's a very, they're like Black Rifle Coffee. They target the right wing, blue collar. They look to that for a main profitability. Yeah. And obviously it would shock people. Lots of companies are requiring it, but you expect it, Starbucks, et cetera. But when it's Carhartt, it's like, this is Carhartt. Carhartt's being a totalitarian medical fascist. Yes, they are. So this guy's defending Carhartt. He's verified. He's a journalist. Can we go back to my screen? This other guy's trying to, now Ryan's trying to defend him. And I go to his Instagram and I look at pictures of who this journalist is. And I mean, like, look at that. Like, I don't know what else to say, but like, this is the guy defending Carhartt. This is the guy defending Carhartt doing mandatory vaccinations. It's just, it's predictable. It's they always look like this. It's just like I'm going back up, I'm gonna scroll up. Look, it's like this. It's just the same person in different resolutions. Literally. And with different hair. And it gets worse though. And I just put like a little.
He's like the third Pokemon evolution of the first one.
Yeah, if you're like, don't make fun of people on your show. No, we will. We will always cruelly
you
make fun
disgusting.
Of people.
You are the symptoms of a dying society. Like, the only involvement that you should have in the public discourse or even in politics in general is like bringing people like Emperor Trump a Diet Coke. That is literally what you are bred to do. You are disgusting. I dislike you.
I always look at the quote tweets though on interactions like that, Elijah, and with that guy, like you look at the quote tweets and he's getting like zero likes, like no interaction. You go to his profile, he has like, I don't know, like thousands of followers, but no likes, no retweets, no engagement. Like, how do these people even get, are they just propped up? don't get it.
Yeah, no, they're totally astroturfed to like create some sort of perceivably organic opposition to like what this country actually wants, which is like a reactionary Make America Great Again style movement.
But also, like, where did Carhartt go wrong? The old joke we used to make was like, oh, you wear Carhartt, bro? Like, name four labor unions. But now it's like, oh, you wear Carhartt? Like, name seven gender identities.
I know.
Labor unions have always been paused. I mean, you can look throughout, like, even the 20th century. I mean, they've always been in support of just things that they're in support of now, basically. You know, there's this kind of fantasy that the right has about, like, oh, the base unions. But that doesn't, I mean, you can look back in the 60s. They're raising money to bail out black criminals, the same thing they're doing now. Like, they've always just been, you know, leftist, because labor has always been leftist. And then now we're expecting it to kind of gravitate towards more the right after the whole free trade thing, selling out our manufacturing economy. But it's just not happening.
Right. And like, obviously, guys, we're going to talk more about this conversation. It gets so much weirder and so much better. But obviously, if you guys don't know, I just got back from South Carolina. Shout out to Gaston. If you can go to my screen here, Savannah, I went out shooting. I was having a great time. This is a nice look at how nice these guns are. I think there's a few of these here. I even got to shoot this nice. I think this might be an M1 or an M14. I don't know. Got to shoot this nice little Soviet gun, this little gun, this little thing. That's too cool. Right here. The M1 is my favorite, but obviously you can take it off the screen, Savannah. You know, we probably spent each about $500 worth of like dollars each on just the ammo that we shot during the day. It's out of control, which is why I got to talk to you about iTarget Pro, which John also has and loves as well. If there's one thing that you know that Joe Biden's been good at in the middle of all this inflation, it's making us all feel like we need to stock up on guns and ammo, or in case John, maybe it's a hatchet or two, I don't know. This has caused prices to jump 300% and many law-abiding gun owners to stop training because it sucks. It's like it just costs a lot of money. Thankfully, thank God, there's iTarget Pro. John, you love iTarget Pro.
I love iTarget Pro.
You actually do have this, and no, you're the one who introduced it to me. Yeah, you're the one who introduced this to me because like, it's actually a revolutionary system that allows you to dry fire practice, like literally with your actual firearm in the comfort, safety, and privacy of your own home. This gives law-abiding gun owners to train, anything you want to train anytime you want. No more inconvenient trips to the range or expensive practice ammunition. You have to spend $1 per round, $2 per round, depending on what gun you're shooting. It's crazy. Those Soviet rounds. Oh my gosh, that's expensive stuff. But if you download iTarget's proprietary app, load the laser bullet into your firearm and start your training experience, you can dry fire train and it'll help you develop muscle memory, sharpen target reaction speed, sight alignment, trigger function, and more. iTarget Pro comes in all major calibers, including .223 for your AR, so you can stay sharp with almost any firearm. Go to iTargetPro.com right now and save 10% plus free shipping with the offer code OFFENSIVE. This is the smartest way for you to practice and it pays for itself in one day. That's the letter iTargetPro.com. Use the offer code OFFENSIVE right now to save 10% and get free shipping on the most amazing dry firing ever. And it really is. You're going to need to train because I'm going to go back. Give me a second here to go back to this. I don't even know. Oh, yeah. Here I am. Okay, let's go back. Let's just bring him back on the screen. Okay. Okay. It makes me so happy when I see these people. So I respond. The reason why we do this, John, just so if you're new to the show, the reason why I walk you through this is like how John said, you have to know how you live in the world. They might be NPCs, but you got to know how to interact with these people. And sometimes I just do this to remind people that you don't have to give these people a response and you can prove their stupidity by the fact that you just send pictures and they argue with a rendering of other people. So then he comes down here and is like, I assume that's supposed to be a dig at people who dye their hair. It's interesting how that seems to trigger you, chuds. They love using the word chuds, too. You're not going to answer my question, are you? I just put a picture up.
I love how he's trying to, like, analyze, like, get into your mind, you know, to try to figure out what you're thinking. It's like, no, dude, it's not that deep. I'm just showing you a picture. Just holding a mirror up.
Literally, looking at yourself makes them they look at an image of themselves and their friends and it breaks their brain. They've never even processed this. This person put this picture up. He's never thought about it. It's like, wow, maybe you look like a retard when you're a fat old man with glasses dyeing your hair purple and it looks stupid. Yeah. And maybe you shouldn't do that and voluntarily add it to the internet because it's dumb.
That's apposemitism. I mean, that's why, you know, they now recently made it illegal, or I guess they're not going to do that in Portland. Remember, they used to always release the mugshots of the Antifa arrestees in Portland, and all of them would have like this brightly dyed hair, which there was a biologist who made an argument saying that that was actually just the human version of apposemitism, which is a phenomenon among like insects where they'll display bright colors to basically signify to other insects and animals that they're toxic. And he was saying that like maybe there's some subconscious level that's why these people are doing the same thing. They're like letting people know that they're basically toxic, which is true because all these people are like deeply spiritually ill. And they always possess that satanic impulse that the left does, this real like Cain and Abel situation where They look at that which is good, whether it's beautiful or whether it's more successful than them. And instead of trying to nobly strive towards that, they just want to tear it down and destroy it. Like, this has always been what leftist movements have been about, even dating back to, you know, Soviet Russia. Like, it's never been about this, like, workers of the world unite. It's always just this, the most miserable, disgusting people you can imagine, just hating the society because they feel like they can't get as much as this guy or be as pretty as this person or whatever. That's always been what it's been about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never thought about it like that. What was the word you used?
Epistemitism.
Epistemitism. But I think now that I look back on it,
are you
a general
apisemite?
A general rule of thumb.
Dude, I am so apisemitic. Wait, no. Anti-apisemitic?
I don't know.
No, but I think a good general rule of thumb, right, is if a girl has rotated through at least three or more hair colors, you should probably stay clear.
That's the first thing they do when they break up. They dye their hair or cut their hair. Yeah, they always do that.
I've never met a mentally stable girl with her natural hair color. Have you?
No. Literally, Savannah knows this. She knows this genuinely and reality-wise that women... For sure, when they break up, the first thing they do is like get their nails done, dye their hair. This is right. This is normal. This is what they do.
I honestly have never dyed my hair or cut it after a breakup. So
yeah, because you're not.
I guess
because you don't. I don't need
the hair color. It's just my personality shines bright. You know.
Yeah, and I want to continue this how to destroy an NPC through a chat. But I also want to say like this, like the insanity is this is that if we can go, we're going to do video 12 and 13. Is that this these people? The reason why we have to fight them is because they don't just dye their hair. People always bring this up to me. Like, why do you need to bring this picture up? Just let this man just dye his hair and enjoy his life. Like, don't pick it up. And I would love to do that. I would really love to just leave him be. But they don't want to be left alone. They actually want to insert themselves into my life, into my world, into your world, into our institutions, specifically now the most sacred of them being the Church of Christ. And if we can listen to this, we are now having these woke preachers, after we'll get back to the conversation, that are now having panels on queer theology. I will remind you, back when I was in seminary, they were still doing this, and they still are today. Let's go ahead and let's watch this.
Yeah, so if we think of Jesus as the one who reveals God, I was really struck by Angela saying earlier that God is queer. And I think as humans, we have a tendency to construct God in our own image rather than to recognize that we are made in the image of God. And therefore, the dominant expression of humanity ends up writing itself onto God and making that God. And I think in the story of Jesus, the stories of Jesus' life, we find that being broken down in some quite radical ways, which is then having the knock-on effect of altering the way we understand who God is in relation to humanity. So I think Jesus transgenders himself on a number of occasions. I think, you know, just a little phrase that Jesus is lamenting over Jerusalem, longing to gather Jerusalem as a mother hen gathers her chicks. I think if you look at the foot washing from John's Gospel, foot washing elsewhere in both Old and New Testament, that it's consistently done by women. And yet Jesus takes that on. People often cast that as being the servant's role. It was the woman's role. Mm. And Jesus does it and becomes the woman at that point. And I think, you know, we've observed that, you know, he's unmarried, he's childless, he defies gender and sexual norms of his day. He's known for associating with those whose own sexual history or gender identity may be ambiguous. So I think in Jesus, we've got a revelation of God as encompassing far more than what historically and recently, at least, Christians have tended to construct God as being. And I think there's a bit of an antidote to heteronormative idolatry in the story of
Jesus.
Okay,
take the blasphemy off. Take the blasphemy off. You can leave it playing, though, in the background if you ever want to put the B-roll. So let's just start by saying, what is a panel on queer theology? Because that's what this was.
Deserving of execution.
Yeah.
We used to burn heretics.
Yeah,
at the
stake. There was a saint who said the best way to deal with a heretic is to drive my sword through his stomach. And it's like, you know, you can't even draw a picture of Muhammad without getting killed in many parts of the world.
Beheaded.
Yeah. And it's like, we can say, oh, that's crazy. I mean, maybe because it's a false god, but it's like, you're going to watch this happen in like your neighborhoods and just be like, oh, I disagree with that. You're a pussy, bro. This sort of like liberalized, effeminate Christianity about like, oh, just love everybody, be tolerant. Christ said to love. That is like such a Sunday school understanding of the Bible. And it's a very new understanding too. You go back farther than 200 years. It's like, that is not how Christianity was understood. It's only understood that way in the West is basically a way of like weakening men. That was Nietzsche's criticism of Christianity. He didn't like how it's basically, in his opinion, rationalized weakness to be some sort of virtue. That was his criticism of it. But it's like, if you look at older strains of Christianity, it wasn't like this kind of like, oh, just be like vaguely nice and accepting to people, man. Like, Jesus was a hippie. It's like, no, it was like this knightly duty to wield power and fight back against evil with good. Like, this is what the Crusades were. It's like, this is, there's a history of this. And it's, we see this now, and it's like, you've got, you know, churches where people are dressing up and they're claiming that, you know, God was, I don't even want to say it, like, that's blasphemy. That guy's a heretic. And it is kind of a joke that he's allowed to speak that way.
No, it's the complete antithesis of what we believe as Christians. You know, his whole point was that man is in all different states of their life. And so because we were made in God's image, then everybody that's represented in our society today must also be godly. But like, that's not the point, right? We were all born pure, but it's the world and it's Satan that is taken us further away from God. You know, we're in a fallen state now. And you cannot be homosexual and be a priest. And people will say, well, other priests sin and other priests struggle with sin. The only difference is that those preachers that are struggling with sin don't proclaim their sin as some sort of virtue, right? You're not going to see a priest go up and go, well, I'm an alcoholic priest. And, you know, it's all kinds, or I'm an adulterer priest. But you have these people that are up there saying, well, I'm a homosexual priest. You can't do that. It's not right. And, you know, in my hometown in Birmingham, there's this one prominent church.
Dox check.
Yeah. Oh. Anyway.
What?
There's this one church, though, in Birmingham. We're not actually from there, but they have a gay flag outside of the church. And I got into an argument about this with my family, that you cannot promote sin. And it's not saying that we should, you know, hate them or reject them, but you cannot promote it as being virtuous or as being in alignment with our faith. It just doesn't make sense.
Is that right? The one off Cranbrook?
The one in downtown.
Oh, well, they don't have about that flag anymore. I heard some kids took that over Thanksgiving.
Oh, my.
Some kids? Okay. Well, those kids. No, but you know, but it is interesting too. Like, I found this to be interesting when I remember I refused to participate in a panel discussion about Jesus possibly being gay himself, which is to me is a blasphemous thing to say.
It's beyond the limits, like, of rational
discourse. Yeah, it's like, I just won't engage. I'm not going to engage in this because it's not even a point or a premise to begin. But these people, these NPCs, it's like he said a lot of words, but he said nothing. Yeah. It is so interesting. It's like, well, Jesus therefore invoked transgenderism, and he did this because he washed people's feet. Like, what a tone-deaf, theologically inaccurate interpretation that possibly is deserving of execution. Meaning, I am by far far from perfect, and most people, if they were honest with themselves, would fall into the same category. Some people, by personality, just make better choices than others. Some people because of conviction. Some people because of standards, because of morals. There's a lot of reasons. But when you go out there and you take this amazing story, even if you're not a Christian, you're watching this and you want to call it an allegory, which is a real event, but you know, you're saying like the washing of the feet, this humility of like taking on the role of like serving the people and doing this moment. What a beautiful moment that they've ruined and turned queer and gay and everything. That's why it's so crazy. Like, it's not that these queer and gay people, and I want to remind you, if you go to my screen, Savannah, he has, this guy has the rainbow flag in his bio, so I think he might be gay or bisexual or something, which is, you know, if you're my brother, everybody's gay or bisexual, he thinks, in the world. But I am going to say this, that you they take everything and try to turn it into their worldview. It's like such a drone. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, you know, Jesus, yeah, that's transgenderism. And it's a retardation of values, of truth. And it's like, and that's why when this guy responded, right, when he's like, so you're not going to answer my question, are you? I responded with this, because he has one of these pictures. Why do these people always have one of these pictures? This picture exists on the profile of almost every person who talks shit to me on the internet. This literally is the same person, 10 to 20 pounds lighter or heavier, in the exact same glass frame, with the exact same haircut. And it's like, this is why you thank God that you have a tack pack, and yeah, you're armed, because these kind of people are there. And it's just like, you look at these people, I'm going to look at that and say, that guy doesn't know how to live. He can't even keep the fork out of his mouth. Plus, I don't know what's going on there with his hoodie. And he's like, any guy that poses like this, like, can I do this way? Oh, is it this way? Is it this way, Savannah? Can you get me on screen with this guy? Great. Yeah. Like, it's like any guy who poses like that
is your cousin Elijah?
Yeah, it's like me. It's like, didn't you say you just lost some weight? Is that you? No, but I just meant like it's crazy because like even with the vaccine things, it's like this intersection. They want faith and gayness and vaccines and everything to make sense. Where there's even Australian pastors, there's reports of them daubing on their own congregants who are attending church without being vaccinated. Isn't that crazy? And they kicked these people out who wanted to sing and worship, and they wanted to sing, and they kicked them out. The church leadership did because they weren't vaccinated. And it's the defilement of not of just religion, but of truth, of the defilement of reason, of logic. And then you get these people. They look like that. They all freaking look like that. I don't know why.
They can't create anything. They can only pervert that which God created. So the two greatest examples of this, in my opinion, with the left is the way that, and there's such a unavoidable overlap between leftism and Satanism. And I did like a whole hour and a half video on that on my channel, not to plug myself, but if you're like curious, I can like literally prove to you that the philosophical
heck off
overlap,
call me on YouTube.
Yeah, the philosophical overlap between liberalism and Satanism is like 1-to-1. That's not even like in the boomer way, like, oh, the Democrats, like this is like literally true. The two greatest examples of that in terms of like things that make me kind of like, oh shit, this is real. You look at the way that, for example, with transgenders, you look at the way God created man and then from his flesh created woman. And then you look at the way that women get sex changes now, and they take a skin graft from their thigh or something, and they make like a fake penis out of it. And it's like a complete satanic inversion. It's like from woman's flesh, she creates herself as a man, but like not actually, like this fake organ. Or the other example is really good. Look at like the rhetoric surrounding abortion, for example. What did God say when he sacrificed himself for us? He said, this is my body. I give it up for you. What do the women say when they sacrifice their children to Moloch? They say, my body, my choice, my body, my body. It's the same thing, a complete inversion, because they can't create anything and they don't even want to uphold anything. They just want to destroy everything that God created. It's the ultimate protest against existence.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a good point, Elijah, that they have to turn anything into like their religion. And I think it's twofold. It's a symptom of them not having any identity, the identity that we Christians get from God, but also the idea that if you're not in support of something, then you must be against it. And that's such a dangerous idea because, you know, it's like I said before, with sinners, we're not rejecting them and saying that they lost hope and that they don't deserve forgiveness and redemption, but we're also not promoting it. And just because we're not promoting it doesn't mean that we're going to cast them out of society, right? But it's like, like you said, right, is a doorway bisexual because they let men and women go into them? Like what the hell? It makes no sense. Like, just like you said, they turn anything into their own religion.
You're giving them ideas. You're giving them ideas. Savannah, did you feel a little bisexual walking through the door because it's been men and women? Does that affect you that way?
No.
No, but it's that ridiculous. It makes no sense.
Can you go to my screen? John, does this make you want to be gay? When you see men like that, you can have that.
No, that makes you want to commit a hate crime.
I love it, John. Tell me how
you have
really
a machete
feel.
Now. You have a tomahawk.
I feel like an angry young man today. I don't know if you've been able to. I don't know.
I know.
John has two blades within 1 foot.
It's real.
Of him.
I'm collecting.
Well, and I'm going to go to this real fast because it's kind of interesting. It's like we have this. Let me see if I can find it here. Yeah, actually we do. So there is this interesting movement, this thing being pushed that is the bringing into everything. Gay. This is a verified account. And I'll remind you this is what's so interesting about censorship going on in the world. So if you go to my screen here, you know, people say like, well, why do you have a problem with a guy wearing a skirt? Okay. In myself, John and I are a little bit different, and Aldo and Sav, I would just be like, well, I don't really even think about it. People, technically, kilts are like a form of skirt. I don't really think about men wearing skirts or not. They shouldn't wear women's clothing, but I don't think about it. But then they upload it onto the screen, and then they, I think there's like, those are like, look like pointy nails or something right there. Savannah, does this turn you on a little bit?
No, like men still, like this? Still a solid no.
Okay. She's not bisexual today. She's not getting turned on by the lovely men on the screens. I'm surprised, Savannah. They're at the top of their game. Look at this. So he looks bad, right? He looks bad. The shoes are cool. The socks work. Maybe show more ankles if you're trying to be a little more risque. The skirt, they weren't made for people with dick and balls. Like that's just, they weren't, that's not designed. Kilts are a little bit thicker. They're different. They got the pink blouse, which already is just weird. The nails, the mask. And then it's like, stop assuming your kids are straight. Now, the reason why I bring this up is because like you said, with the culture we live in, with being NPCs, we've been accustomed in our culture to believe that this is okay. And this is normal and shouldn't be censored, but questioning an election is worthy of, you know, it causes insurrections and undermines democracy. And you can't post that on the internet. So it's like, on one hand, it's like this is considered normal in our society. This is like, people just look at that and be like, why would you censor a guy in a skirt trying to tell
minors that they might not be straight and trying to get parents to believe their kids are gay at a young age, why would that not be considered filth and be taken off our internet? But I think we should go back to a culture where this should be illegal to post on the internet. Like, I think this should be against the law.
Yeah, and
maybe,
everybody,
I don't know,
who's going to think to themselves like, oh, well, come on, what's wrong with a guy wearing a skirt? It's not bothering you. And it's like, you know, there's a reason that your ancestors, if like a guy was walking through their village wearing a skirt, they'd like stone him to death. And you're like, well, they don't know better. And it's like, oh, maybe that's a little barbaric, but they did know that you do have to contain these things. And the way that the left always gives the historiography of it is so dishonest, because they'll say, well, you know, throughout history, men have worn dresses and they've worn skirts and things like that. And
the non-binary, like, Vikings, remember that one?
Right. But it's like, that's true. You know, you can like look at examples of that in military uniforms, but it's like, that was still how men dressed. And there were still ways that men dressed, and there are ways that women dressed. What they're doing now is, knowing that there's a certain way that women dress and men dress in our society contemporarily, they're making a protest against that by dressing up a guy that way, basically calling into question, like, well, what even is gender? What is gender expression, identity, and things like that? And it's like, you have to suppress that. It's going to make you uncomfortable, which is the tax you pay for like 70 years of sitting on your ass, basically watching television while like the entire future of the country is pissed away. So like, yeah, you're going to have to be a little bit uncomfortable now and actually take a proactive stance. Like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to choose to have a problem with some guy wearing a skirt in public. I'm going to make that my problem.
Well, I also blame it on the so-called conservatives that whenever the bill was passed and they made homosexual marriage legal, for not dying on that hill. Like, this is the result. The argument was that we just want to do what we want in our own homes and in the privacy of our own homes. That's all we want. Well, this is the result now that we have, you know, they're trying to say that your kids might be gay and they're trying to push it on our children. You just wanted to stay inside your home, I thought, right?
Yeah, why would you ever take them? These are people who... I don't want to describe it. These are, but like, that's where
make
they're going to
draw the line. Make the movement with your hatchet.
No, like, that's, what do you even, no, that's even worse. But like, these are people.
Explain what you want to, how you want to solve this by waving your hatchet.
No. My point is, like, that's where they're going to draw the line. Like, if they're okay with doing that, like, why would they not want to take it out into the streets and everything? Like, they have no shame at that point. And no one wants to ever be like in their house, because that sort of implies that what they're doing is wrong, and they know that what they're doing is wrong. And so in order to change that, they have to have the society accept it en masse. And that was always the plan. I mean, they wrote about this in the 1980s and 1990s in like literal like strategy guidebooks for activists. Like, this is the plan to make America like accept the gay agenda. And everything that we've seen in tandem to that was predicted as well. But nobody wanted to listen. Everyone, well, that's a slippery slope. You're being crazy. Look at where we are now.
And no. Worse yet, the conservatives won't learn from this, that everything that they're being shilled is a complete lie, that they're being played for their good faith. It's lies. They're not going to learn from it. I think we're going to get
more. No, we're no, really not. And like, if you see this, it's like Drew Hernandez sent me this video of video 8, which we'll play in a second, Savannah. But it's like how they also ruin everything, including like what makes us strong. They think what makes us strong is like diversity, right? Diversity is our strength. Wrong. You know, this is a
Your Afro makes you your strength.
Yeah, your Afro, black hair is your strength. Yeah, and but it's what's kind of makes me in a little bit of a fear mode. That's why it's like, well, why do you care? Well, because when it infects things like the institution of our military, and our military becomes feminine and gay, it does pose a security risk to the country. And like, this is what our U.S. Army is putting out. The Chinese are putting out, like, you know, drills, people breaking like concrete.
I want to join
arms.
The Chinese Army.
I know. And this
videos.
Is what our military is putting out. Let's go ahead and let's watch this. Okay, I don't want to come like that old guy that's, you know, just like mad today, like, ah, women shouldn't be dancing. But it's like, when our military allows this to go out on the internet, like, this is not just like dudes, you know, messing around and like joking around and, you know, being military humorous. We all know what the Navy people, the sailors do. But what I am trying to say is, like, you know, like, you have these women shaking their titties on like in like a barracks and putting it on the internet, and you're like, do we have no shame, no decency, no standards in our nation anymore? Has our culture been degraded or denigrated to the extent that This is allowed? And I do want to talk about this, but obviously with all of this, guys, you might be in a lot of pain watching these videos. A lot of you guys have pain. I've been having a lot of pain. Like I said, just living life. I had to literally run through the woods in freezing temperatures last night to catch my dog. Literal woods. And obviously people always tell me, like, you should try CBD. They always told me that. And I'm like, what? So like, does it really work? Does CBD work?
Let me tell you this. Over 90% of doctors said that their patients have used CBD to treat a health condition. Listen, when 9 out of 10 patients use CBD, that speaks volumes about how safe and effective CBD can be. And, you know, when it actually works, like, I've used CBD before, too. I've even given it to my dog, and it actually does help with specifically, I get, like, pain in my hands from doing so much social media and, like, uploading so many tweets and stuff, and it actually does release some of that tension, and it's super helpful. And my mom even used it, too, to alleviate some of her pain, and I'm really grateful for that. And here's what patients tell their doctors that they love about CBD. 90% of CBD distillery customers said that they sleep better with CBD. 80% of customers said CBD helps with discomfort after physical activity. And if you're looking for a little peace and calm these days, you'd be wise to explore CBD. If you haven't discovered the power of CBD, you're missing out. Go to cbdistillery.com. That's cbdistillery.com, where you order online with no prescription required and enter offensive for 20% off. Again, enter offensive for 20% off at cbdistillery.com. That's cbdistillery.com. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, and South Dakota. Just so you know, get 20% off with promo code offensive, cbdistillery.com. Check it out and get the relief today. And I hope you get some relief from all of this. Because, John, people are worried about me because they say I look tired. It looks like I'm losing it a little bit. How could, I mean, it is a constant struggle sometimes to not completely lose it, right? I think it's like, sometimes you just have to sit there and you have to just breathe and remind yourself that Alex Jones still has a job, and so it's going to be okay. No, but I'm saying that Christ is still king. The world's still going on, because you just look at the mess of what's happening. I'm going to go to, if you go to my screen here, I think one second. Yeah, here we go. So obviously they told us all the Great Reset was a conspiracy theory. It's not really real, but now it's being promoted on Twitter. What's happening? They're letting us know the Great Reset is the World Economic Forum's proposal for post-COVID economic recovery, Reuters and the BBC report. Before COVID even happened, they were talking about this. We were talking about this for a while. And now we've come into a position where with the Great Reset, they're just admitting it in our faces that basically, okay, I'm not saying they caused COVID on purpose to initiate the global police state and to create vaccine passports and create this new surveillance system and restrict world travel and make people miserable in their own homeland and get submission. But if they did, then maybe they would have had the solution to COVID economic recovery before COVID happened. And they did. It's kind of crazy. They had the solution to recover from COVID and to create a one world government. It's a coincidence. It is a coincidence.
And I wouldn't even say that this whole thing that happened was like a new thing even. You know, if you're looking at like things that are new things, by definition, they have characteristics that are new. And in terms of what we're talking about, you would expect that to be like symptoms or long-term effects or things like that. And it's curious. You just don't really see any. So then maybe you think, okay, maybe if not symptoms or long-term effects, right? Maybe you'd expect to see like a, you know, increased mortality rate or something like that. You don't see it. It's actually lower. It's actually lower than that. And, you know, these new strains come along every year or so, you know, it's like the flu or whatever, the common cold. So, it's not even that they took it that far. They probably just like cut, paste, and renamed something, which would make sense too, because the death count from like the flu is like dropped to zero, and then the COVID's all gone up there.
Yeah, pneumonia, so, the cold, everything. It's just gone. Yeah. It's like, it's just gone.
So it's hilarious because they're not even smart enough. And this is why I never really liked the whole, you know, bioweapon narrative for three reasons. One, because it implies that people, they're like smart enough to pull like that part of it off. Two, the regime wants that anyway because it builds tension with China. Because if you're saying, oh, China, it's bioweapon, it's like that. They like that. The CIA wants war with China. And three, it legitimizes everything. You know, if you're going to say it is like a bioweapon or something that claims that it is like something that's threatening to us, which kind of justifies everything that they've done, even if only in a small capacity. So, yeah, if you're even entertaining the legitimacy of it, like, no, this is a real thing. It's like, then, you know, whether you want to talk about, oh, well, it's real, so we need ivermectin, or it's real, but, you know, just let people make personal decisions. It's like, no, all of that is going to justify the overarching narrative. Like, you just have to come out straight and just say, like, no, it's not real. No.
That is literally worked so well for my life. Just say no.
Yeah, it's the most powerful word.
It's no.
Just no.
No. This is a video of you saying the N-word. No, it's not.
No.
Before the video, you said, I swear this is me, Elijah Schaefer. And then you said the N-word, and then you held up a sign with the date and timestamp. No, that's not.
Try again.
Yep. Yeah. You tried. It was pretty good. Well, it's weird because I was there. I'm the one who filmed it. So it was you. No, you didn't.
You invited me because you were like, hey, dude, come over. I got to share this new word.
I just learned a new word. And no, it didn't happen. And I'm going to move on with my life, and you better too. Or I'm going to pull out my hatchet, and we can end it here and there. Obviously, what I mean is by opening up the bottle for them so that they can enjoy their life.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, geez, Elijah. Take a sip, brother. a deep breath. Reset yourself.
It's going to be okay.
That didn't just happen.
It's going to be okay.
I kind of feel like, John, I watched this last night, Michael Douglas in Falling Down, how like he's just sitting there in his car. He's like getting hotter and hotter. And
that's why I'm
like,
so on edge today.
He's just like, you know what? I'm going home. And it's like I just see Carl Schwab at the the World Economic Forum being like, we have religious leaders, we have NGOs, we have people in the government. And I'm just getting like hotter and hotter. And finally, like he's going to list a couple more things. And I'm just going to be like, you know what? I'm going home.
That's a great, it's not exactly like a new discovery because people on the right have been talking about that for a while. Like Gavin McInnes based his entire like sort of look on Michael Douglas's character in that movie. But if you haven't seen it, go watch Falling Down. It's a very, you'll relate to it, I think, as a young man in America.
Yeah. So, and then we have stuff like this. I do want to bring this up. There's this important story. We bring you the best news here at Slightly Offensive. This is from Them, which is already satanic, this idea of plurality of personality and sexuality. The reason why I want to bring this up is because of how this was written. And I did do the blessing of always, I do a pretty good job of bringing the most important stories to here, would you say?
The most consequential journalist.
Yeah, of the 21st century. It's true. This is by John Paul Bremer, and this was an article that Savannah, for some reason, was like, I understand this. I don't know why she... It was only because she understood the writing. I mean, because she's a writer. But it said that he sucked a 10-inch penis and then ended up in the ER. Now, I do want to read it for you. What is this? No thanks. Them, the best of what's queer. So we have this story about Dick sent me to the ER, and I just would like to read you the text of how this was written to kind of bring you to light. When I titled this video, like, what the hell's going on or whatever, this is why. It says, within each generation, a rising class of heroes arrives to champion the queer community. Heroes, okay? I'm not sure if you understand what your definition of a hero is, but we're going to understand what Them's definition is. Freddie Alanis, a 19-year-old legend... keywords, hero and legend, who hails from the Chicago suburbs, is one such hero. Or he has become one, at least to thousands of people on social media. So this guy's, people idolize this guy. Why? Did he save a cat from a tree, a child from a burning building? Maybe. Who have eagerly spread his tale of how fated interaction with a 10-inch penis landed him in the hospital. According to Alanis, his airway was ruptured in January during a grinder hookup in which he sucked a Hulk-sized dick. I'm sorry for the audience who has to hear this. As he put it, I was in quotes, and wound up in the ER, radiating big dick energy, which is more than a little ironic, I suppose. He then snapped a selfie from the hospital bed. Alanis didn't post the now legendary photo until July 5th, 7 months in which the world sat deprived of the story of true queer resilience. And it's the post, excuse the bad angle, but remember when I sucked a Hulk-sized dick and ended up in the ER afterwards, LMFAO, never forget. So,
Elijah, you told me you were coming on today to talk about economic policy and foreign policy solutions of the Ukraine.
What's funny is they betray themselves so consistently.
It's
because
very bizarre. Sorry.
If you look at like whatever they write stories about or whatever they talk about, it's always stuff like this. I mean, there's a reason that the average length of a gay relationship is less than 2 years. There's a reason that 50% of all gay relationships are like open. They're non-monogamous. And these are the people who think, no, we just want to have normal families like everyone else. And it's like, well, you can't, because a normal family by definition has one mother and one father. If you wanted to have kids, maybe, I don't know, don't be gay. It's like easy. People have been doing it forever. And like, these are the things that they write about. Like, we're supposed to put children into these people's custodies. And it's like, what do they write about when given the opportunity? Well, I sucked a 10-inch dick. Look at me. And everyone's like, oh, he's a hero. He's a hero. Or like, even, you know, when they have parades, are they walking down, Fifth Avenue and they're wearing like, you know, jeans and t-shirts and whatever, just hi, hello? No, they are twerking, they are being provocative, they're being promiscuous. Like, this is the essence of their culture. Why would you ever put children into their vicinity, into their radius? You should never do that.
And you can't oppose, you know, the homosexual adoption without being called a bigot or whatever. It's like, imagine Pete Buttigieg's kid is walking through their living room one day and it's like, Dad, like, what are you reading? Like, something about a transportation secretary? No, son, I'm reading about this Hulk-sized dick this guy just sucked and he landed in the ER. Yeah, it's like,
he sits
and a Hulk-sized
he sat in a hospital bed with his husband cradling, like, What are you trying to do? That's a mockery of the beauty of childbirth. That is
just flipping through. That
disgusting.
On a
Why are we
afternoon?
Pretending that this is a legitimate thing?
It's like the entire supply chain is like breaking down, and he's like, you know, the entire country is falling apart. Infrastructure is horrible. We have a gay
Planes
in there.
Are getting canceled because of 5G. It's like Pete Buttigieg is like,
people are just like, yeah, he's like, you heard that, honey?
And they're making,
he sucked a Hulk size.
They're making Amazon propaganda of him, too. It's like Mayor Pete, and it's this documentary that's supposed to like
humanize
him.
They did one of Fauci, too, right? Disney did?
Fauci had one. Mayor Pete had one. I think Beto had one. And it's like, if you watch these documentaries, like, you are not a real person. Like, you're, the entire contents of your brain have been decided by a think tank. Like, you are not a real person. So I'll never be able to convince you. Maybe in this life I won't win, but I want you to know at the very least you are not a real person.
We have a, we have a mayor with the initials that spell pee-pee butt. Like, I always want people to remember that. His literal name is, if you look at his initials, it literally spells pee-pee butt. And it's so insane to me that we have a pee-pee butt running. Like, it's like,
just kidnapped children.
Yeah, he kidnapped children. You go, like, you sit there. So I don't know if everybody knows, but the supply chain is so colossally screwed up. Do you remember how they always try to gaslight us? Like, oh, it's just a couple treadmill. Oh, you can't get your treadmill, Saki.
Which is so mean,
you know?
Too.
And you're like, yeah, but it's like, what if somebody's trying to lose weight? They have diabetes. Like, what do you mean?
Like, a treadmill has always been kind of something for, you know, like a middle class family to be like, you know, that's like a nice thing that you can find in a middle class home. Maybe you can't find like a home theater or something like that. But like, if you have a treadmill and you're in the middle class, like, that's cool. That's kind of like a nice thing to have. And shaming middle class Americans for wanting that. Like, you know,
they said you guys are just buying too much.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, maybe they have their basic necessities met, but it's like, what's wrong with that?
No, but we don't.
What is wrong with wanting a treadmill? And like, that they're shaming us for that. Which, by the way, it wasn't even that. We know it was like, you know, groceries and basic necessities, but they're like,
to this day,
you can't get your treadmills. It's like,
well, because we have a guy named, yeah, exactly, we have a guy named Pee Pee Butt robbing kids and reading about Hulk sized dicks. Like,
well,
that's the guy running this.
I think you explained it on another show about how it's the erosion of high standards for consumers, right? How everybody's a Karen if you expect high standards from your server or whatever. It's like, oh, you wanted your order to be correct at a restaurant?
Yeah.
Really?
No, the Karen, like, meme is totally.
Yeah. No, I want my supply lines to be fulfilled. I want my package on time when you say it was going to be ordered.
Yeah, and because everything that people believe now is passed through this like hyper consensus filter of like memes, a little thing can happen, and if it vaguely reminds them of a meme, that's what it is. So like the Karen thing, like some white lady is like, hey, I wanted a black coffee. You gave me a latte. Oh, okay, Karen. So it's like, that is a way, maybe this wasn't intentional, but that is a way to like punish white people for demanding just a standard of customer service that would be expected 5-10 years ago, to where now if like, hey, this isn't what I ordered. Oh, what are you, a Karen? You're a Karen. And that's just a way to slowly ease people through the decline, because now all of the people who are going to be running our retail jobs, those that still exist, or anything where you're interacting with people, are all getting replaced with like people who are of the caliber of like the DMV. Like, conservatives, again, are stupid. They look at the DMV. They look at the USPS. They run so inefficiently, and it's because of the government. It's because it's run by the government. Really? Remember when we made our DMV appointments up in northern Michigan? In and out.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I do.
That pesky government, so inefficient.
Have you seen the original postal offices? How beautiful they are. Yeah. The ones that were made in the 30s. There's one in Whittier, where I used to live in California. There's also one in Fort Worth. They're dilapidated, but if you look up and you see the architectural design and the quality, and you look at the, you know, the old pictures on the wall of what it used to look like, it's so strange. There's a little bit of a difference between the modern day and back then, that something changed in our country around the 1960s. I'm not sure what it was. I think it was the hippies. That's what it was. It was blame the hippies. That's what they always do, the right wing. It's like, it was the sexual revolution, the hippies. Oh, that's what ruined the country?
Well, if you look at pictures of like airlines in the 60s or whatever, the stewardesses are wearing dresses. Everyone on board has a hat, a suit.
It's a beautiful country.
Tuxes.
Same thing with trains.
I saw a video
there's something very interesting about the modern era.
A video of a globe making facility in like 1960s or 70s, everybody working on a literal conveyor line were wearing dresses and you know, button down shirts.
Have you been to Australia?
And it's like, oh, you're working in a factory now? Wear sweatpants and a sweatshirt. Oh, you're going on a plane? Bring your teddy bear and your blanket. Like, there's no high standard.
Like a grown man too, a fat man with a teddy bear.
In society, like, and there's no, we should shame these people. That's really the only thing. We need to shame people for not living up to high standards in society. I want to walk down the street and see people dress nicely. Is that so much to ask?
The outward appearance reflects the inward appearance. There's a reason that 60 years ago in this country, people, when they were going out in public, when they were traveling, they looked nice because they were a happy people who believed in something. We don't believe in anything now. And now, coincidentally, look around. Every car looks the same. It's disgusting. You look at cars 60 years ago. They're awesome. Everyone gets nostalgic for them. They could still make them that way. They just don't because they hate you. Like, they literally could still make them that way. But no one wants to because everyone feels ugly inside. That's why people wear, they just look disgusting when they're going out, you know, sweatpants, whatever. No one gives a shit about their appearance. The buildings are disgusting. It's all this, like, brutalist architecture. The aesthetics of the society reflect the character and the soul of the society. This country is ugly now. That was a really good point you made to me back, I forgot, I think we were traveling together, maybe back to Michigan to get the car so we could drive back. And you were like, you had, you know, your suit on. And I was like, what are you doing? And you were like, well, you got to look nice when you're traveling. I was like, you know what? You're right. Now, every time I travel, I look nice. You know, just little change. Okay. One step at a time. I make the difference. And
but also, yeah, you know,
they don't give you glass in first class anymore. They give you plastic cups.
You said that the outward appearance is a reflection of the inward. But the converse is also true that, you know, that saying that you have to look good to do good. You working in a library that looks really amazing, or you being in a workspace that reflects your beliefs and that just looks nice, you perform better when you look better. That is scientifically proven. I'm going to be one of those. That's my source. But it's true. If you look better, then you do better. And people around you that reflect those same things, it makes you more productive. It makes you more conscious about your performance. It's really important. And something that my parents made us do growing up is they said once a week, dress up for school. And it made me look better. It made me feel better. And the perception that other classmates had about me was better. You know, I watched this one guy, Serpent ZA,
you would dress up once a week?
One of my first Aldo memories was in seventh grade. We were in the hallway outside of the gym between the orchestra room. And me and some buddies were talking. And Aldo just like comes up to us. And he's wearing, I think, a white V-neck with a gold chain with a cross.
Oh God,
and then khakis. Days. And you just come up and you're like, what's up, boys? What's the good word? And I was like, this is the coolest guy I've ever seen in my life.
It puts a pep in your step. Like, seriously, it does.
Is he a Guido moment?
Yeah, but no, there's this guy watching you. His name's Serpent ZA. He's a South African that lives in China. And his thing is he would wear a suit. He was like a teacher, but he wore a suit every single day. And people would come up to him thinking that he's a businessman or like some high executive person. And he would get invited to big exclusive parties and inner circles of just high, powerful people. And that's so indicative of how, you know, dressing nicely actually affects the world around you. It does make a difference.
It does change a lot. Like even it's hard too, because like I find that the world is so casual. And then I was gonna say, you know, I don't know what has changed. we're gonna get in so much trouble as we go into this next segment. We'll talk about it. But first, I got to tell you guys this. Obviously, you know, I'm not feeling so well today because I don't know what happened last night with trying to catch my dog. It was a really horrible experience. And sometimes I just struggle with nausea, and I've had a lot of people who did. And some of you guys have told me that you really found a lot of relief with Relief Band. So obviously, you're getting ready to take a winter, trip, a spring trip. You're hopping on a boat, or you're just anxious about heading back into your office or whatever you've got to do. I've got good news. Right now, Relief Band has an exclusive offer just for you guys. If you go to reliefband.com and use promo code OFFENSIVE, you'll receive 20% off plus free shipping and a no questions asked 30-day money back guarantee on the best nausea relief ever. So basically what it does is it uses a magnetism to block a signal that goes into your brain. And it really is crazy. It actually works and causes you to no longer be aware of your nausea and be sensing it. And it's kind of crazy. It's been around for a lot of years, but now it's available to you guys, not just in the hospital, which is a really totally a fun thing. And I've seen, you know, I've never heard any of you guys tell me like with the money back guarantee that I've bought this, that you've sent it back, which means that it's working for a lot of you guys. And I'm really happy to say that even some of the comments I've read have been so positive. See if it works for you and if it will help you to relieve your nausea. It's 100% drug-free, non-drowsy, and provides all natural relief with zero side effects. And it's literally a win-win because you get free shipping. And you don't have to explain if it doesn't work, send it back, which means that they're confident that it will work for you. And if you know how bad nausea could be, then you just don't want to deal with nausea. Try Relief Band. Go to reliefband.com, reliefband.com, and use my promo code OFFENSIVE for 20% off plus free shipping and a no questions asked 30-day money back guarantee. That's reliefband.com, reliefband.com. Use my promo code OFFENSIVE. So speaking of getting nausea, there's a bit of a, I don't know how to say this. There's an elephant in the room.
I'll say it.
Okay. So I just want to say that there's this smash and grab. Do we have that, Savannah? That happened. I think we do have that. There's a smash and grab that was going to be. Yeah, it's the DC mass looting. If you see here, this is becoming really common. And I just got to say this. What I was really glad about is that they were masked, which
so
is
courteous.
Which is courteous. Tim Pool pointed out he was really upset about seeing this. He just said, like, he nowhere did he see them showing their vaccination status before entering the store, because you know you have to in DC show your vaccine status, and they didn't show it. John, there's a commonality between what we see with a lot of the people that are destroying our society, ruining our stores, destroying our service industries, giving us substandard qualities. What is that commonality?
You know what? And I'm glad that we have the opportunity on this platform to say it without having to worry about heavy censorship. But it's like, you look at the people who are destroying every major city that they occupy. They are destroying everything. It's like this Midas touch of destruction. And they're all Democrat voters. And they are voting for Democrats.
That's a Democrat.
They're all young people.
I know.
They're young, the Democrats.
They mostly, I've heard, are driving Dodges. They are fans of Dragon Ball Z. And they are doing this to the country, and we have to have a serious conversation about it if we want to fix it.
What I think you're both not considering is that maybe these people were just cold, okay, and trying to warm themselves from the harsh winter.
What if they needed the sweaters more than the store needed them? Like, what does the store need? Oh, you need to have 20 sweaters in your store? Why can't you have 5?
Oh, you want to keep your inventory that you paid for?
Yeah. That's why I think black people are like 30-something percent more likely to purchase costume jewelry controlled for income than white people are. It's because of like racism or whatever. There's some really, I did a video debunking every aspect of systemic racism, like education, poverty, even slavery. I had research proving that there's no like evidence to suggest that like slavery is what made black people in poverty. Like, you can trace it by generation. There's no evidence of that. I did that on my channel, but it's like, you see stuff like this and there's always the excuse of, oh, it's because of racism. And, you know, they do that because they're poor and they need the thing so they can sell it. And it's like, dude, that's just not true. That is like, stop with the mental gymnastics. That's just not true.
They're scientifically predisposed to get colder in the winter, I think is what it is.
And go back to the equator.
Well, what?
What?
Nothing. Nothing.
Black people commit disproportionately high amounts of crime, and it's not related to slavery.
We like the, I didn't mean that in a racist way. I mean, you know, like, if you're cold, go to the equator. The boomers know this. That's why they all navigate to Florida. Like, this is not controversial.
No, it shouldn't be. And I think that's what's so funny is like I just learned growing up, like, every bad thing that has happened to me has happened because of Democrats. Like, Democrats, they robbed my house while I was home, stole my car. The Democrats, they're so bad. We've got to vote them out. We got to get Republicans in office. We got to petition McCarthy. They literally stole my car. They've broken into my home. I lived in LA. I've been jumped by them. I got my laptop stolen, robbed in the middle of LA. One of them tried to stab my brothers in prison for 10 years and robbed him in a Walmart parking lot, right? I've seen them shoot each other. It's a constant issue. And I just think the solution is within the 2022 midterms, got to get more Republicans into Congress, and that will solve this, because it's just, you know what I mean? It's Democrat policies in these big cities that are committing the crime. Literally, Savannah, does that not look like a bill to you? Did you see that 30-page bill stealing those jackets? It's a giant political bill, huh? Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
It's a policy.
Yeah.
Can we start calling them policies?
Oh my gosh.
So what do you mean them, Elijah?
Oh, I meant Democrats.
Maybe like real for a second though. What it really is.
Oh man, this is bad. I told you we're getting in trouble.
White people are successful and they are upset at that. And no amount of data or facts will ever make them less racist towards us, towards the group, I should say, because.
Who's them?
You know, James Klug did a video today, or I think the other day James. In LA. We love James over here. Interviewing people about what it means to be racist, right? And he asked black people and Hispanic people, who can be racist in this society, right? And he talked about, well, you have to be in positions of power. Well, Hispanics are a majority in LA, and the district attorney is Latino. And they were like, well, you know, white people are still bad, okay? We need to realize that we need to be successful. We cannot pander and keep falling into the trap of, well, let's just give them a little more. If we give them a little bit more, then they'll be satiated for now. We just have to succeed and cut everything else off.
So, man, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, because you seem like you're really having a good time over there in this conversation. And I would like to pull you in. And I should pull you down with us. If you can join, can you join?
Screen, bring in the token minority.
No, because it's like literally. But also, we've had some of these same problems. You and I have reported a lot, and we noticed there is this commonality with left-wing people.
You actually said that all bad things came from Democrats, but actually Democrats boosted our careers exponentially in 2020. So I would like to say thank you for that. I remember when we were like breaking into that CVS with all of those fellow Democrats?
Yes.
That was a lot of fun.
Scary.
That was fun.
And punched by a Democrat. Huh?
Yeah, I got punched by a Democrat.
That's Elijah's fault for looking too Republican.
I had guns pointed at my head by... Democrats. It's really true. And so that's why it's really important.
Frustrating.
I know.
It's interesting about Democrats.
I'm getting a Let's Go Brandon t-shirt right now and showing them who's boss.
There's been some really controversial evidence to suggest that Democrats on average have a lower IQ. I don't know anything about this research because it sounds racist to me, or it sounds politically biased.
Yeah,
to me,
it's so political bias.
I
don't
want to dive into that. However, if you do look at what some of the research suggests about people who just happen to be less intelligent, it really is alarming, like the way that their brain works. You know, if you look at, for example, the amount of people who have like an IQ of, say, about 80, who manifest things like sociopathy or like schizophrenia, it would terrify you. They literally do not have the cognitive infrastructure to think about what other people want. Like, they'll sit down with convicts and they'll do interviews with them with psychologists, and they'll ask them questions like, you know, how do you think that the mother of that boy you stabbed felt? I don't know. How do you think he felt? I don't know. Like, they literally do not have the brain power to think about how these people might have felt. They don't understand things like private property laws. They just think, I see that and I want it. That's the level of processing that they're capable of. I see it and I want it.
Get that man! Yeah. That's what they always say. It's like,
they literally can't
think
about
it. Get him!
And it's not a problem that's easy to fix, which is why there's no honest discussion surrounding it.
Can I show you this? I'm going to show you this. These are three stories that I just saw today pop up in my feed. We'll see a commonality of the proof that white nationalism, as Jason Miller, the Getter CEO, said on his platform, is absolutely... it's a problem, right? Every day, that's what white people's biggest threat is that their race ever recovers from being, you know, replaced in their own homelands and destroyed, denigrated in the cultures that they built. So that would be horrible. So we don't promote anything like that on this show. But I will say, because white people deserve it, right? That's the narrative. But like this, you know, we just found out. This is so sad. I see this all the time on the news. I have like hundreds of these, by the way. That 24-year-old architectural design student Brianna Kupfer, I don't know how to pronounce her last name, was brutally stabbed to death while she was working at a furniture store in Los Angeles. The police identified Sean Laval Smith as Brianna's killer. Smith is a career criminal and was out on $1,000 bail at the time of the murder. And I want to remind you that on this thing, one of the comments that I saw, someone said, like, please don't post the mugshot photos. We don't want to get anti-black comments in the thread because, like, Black Lives Matter and whatever. And look at this beautiful girl. It's just, like, she's very, very attractive. She's dead, right? She's dead. And I'm going to continue on. These are just like my news today. The psychopath Winston Glynn shot a woman to death at Burger King. Now he's calling for reparations because he claims to be the victim of historical oppression for 400 years of white supremacy. So he shoots a woman. He murders a woman at Burger King. By the way, she was very afraid to work the night shift. He shot her. And he's blaming oppression for why he shot a woman. This is what you said about not taking responsibility. The Democrats never take responsibility for their actions. Also, this man, this was just in the news too. This is in New York Post Metro. Deranged man pushes Asian woman to death at Times Square subway station. And it's just there's the same. When are we going to be allowed to just tell the truth in this country about what our real problems are? Because you know,
been thanked yet. I'm waiting for a thank you. You know, there's no evidence to suggest, because the transatlantic slave trade was global, right? There's no evidence to suggest that the supply was elastic. So had the demand been cut off from North America, there's no evidence to suggest that there would have been less slaves in Africa. Because if you're familiar with the slave trade, they existed. There were black slave owners who were capturing slaves in Africa, and then they had them waiting there for people to come and purchase, and then they would go to wherever they were going. So if there was no demand for that happening in North America, and there's no market for that, there wouldn't just be less slaves. They basically had like a fixed amount. And so you had a lot of slaves going to South America, more than even North America, and you had some going to North America. You had a ton going over to the Middle East. So what did they do in the Middle East with their black slaves, you know?
Castrated them?
They castrated
them. I think so, yeah.
So now there's no black population over there because they literally castrated them. And so they don't have to deal with these problems in the Middle East. They don't have to deal with, you know, where's my reparations, stuff like that, because they don't have them, because they were murdered. In America, we didn't do that. So had they not come over to America, they would have still been in Africa. Now, I'm pretty sure that there's no country on the face of the planet where black people are afforded a higher standard of living than in America. So...
Yeah, yeah. And but I'm saying, like, this is the point. It's like you
also
look,
white people invented. Maybe we didn't invent slavery. That's not true. I mean, slavery has been practiced, and you know, every race has both been enslaved and has enslaved others, and it's like, so we didn't invent that.
I think Brazil had like five times the amount of slaves that we did.
But you don't hear anything about that. What white people did invent, though, was the abolition of slavery. We were the first group of people to say, this is bad, and we fought wars over it in this country. It was going on in Europe. They shut that down. I think it was the Dutch who first outlawed it, and then America. We lost 600,000 white guys over this thing. And
it's like, I know.
And why aren't we being told, hey, you know, maybe you guys aren't so bad. Maybe because white people, I mean, honestly, we're like, we're kind of goofy, but we just kind of keep to ourselves. We're like, you know, we're just pretty chill people. And that's why they have to always have these narratives in the culture. White people are so evil. White people did all this. They're colonizers. Because if they didn't, people would just look at white people and be like, they're kind of, yeah, they're just kind of chill.
Tell me one white neighborhood you don't want to live in.
The opposite is true, though, with the behavior of black people in this country. They have to have all of these narratives about they were oppressed, they were enslaved, all these bad things happened. Because if you don't have this drilled into your consciousness from infancy that black people are always the victims, you would look at the way they behave and just kind of go, why the f*** are they behaving that way? Like, why are they doing that?
Well, that's the thing. Like, we're taught this idea that the racism actually exists, or that sexism actually exists, or that homophobia actually exists. If we just boiled everything down to if it's right or wrong, good or evil, like that would clear a lot of things up.
Yeah,
like that's all it boils down to. Is it right or is it wrong? This individual shot another person, or this guy stabbed this little girl or this young woman to death. It's just wrong. Okay, I'm tired of hearing it's racist, it's anti,
it's animalistic.
Whatever. It is what it is. It's wrong. It's wrong at the end of the day. That's what we need to focus on. But we're shilled this lie and just to confuse us and to keep us angry and mad that you're homophobic, sexist, racist. It all falls under the same umbrella of right.
Yeah, but if that is racism, then racism isn't bad. Like, if pointing out problems and trying to solve them is racist, then you're admitting that racism has positive roots. Like,
racism by definition is bad because it's prejudice, right? It's like, I'm looking at you, you look different than me, I'm judging you. Prejudice doesn't exist. All of the populations in this country historically that have been most in favor, you know, whether it's now with all of the white liberals who live in gated communities saying that, like, oh, black people are the victims. Even during the time of, like, Jim Crow or slavery, it was all the people in the North where there were very few black people. They were the ones who were seeing this footage on television of, you know, black protesters being sprayed with fire hoses, which, by the way, was done purposefully. Martin Luther King and his activists would go into these neighborhoods starting shit because they wanted that to happen so they could turn the cameras on and say, look it, they're being picked on. This was literally a plan and it worked out for them because they had the media in their pocket and the universities and the institutions. That whole MLK narrative is bullshit, by the way. They want to tell you it was speaking truth to power. He had all the elites on his side now, just like his indirect successor, Black Lives Matter, do now. It was total psyop, total historical revisionism. But it's like, where were we going with that? Prejudice, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't that. Prejudice, by definition, means I am judging beforehand. All of the people who have the most honest attitudes towards these people live next to them. We grew up 20 minutes outside of Detroit. We have these opinions. But there are fat people who live in Beverly Hills, California, like Fat Ian, who are so woke on racial politics, or Nancy Pelosi lives in San Francisco in the nicest areas, so woke on racial politics, and it's like, they don't actually know. So no, it's actually the people who are having the most positive attitudes and who want to subscribe to these victim narratives, they're technically the ones being prejudiced because they don't actually understand the way that these cultures behave and the way that they interact with the surroundings.
But no. Also, I don't think that the idea of group behavior patterns and racism can actually exist concurrently, right? Like, if the existence of group behavior patterns exists, and somebody is just responding to those actual patterns, is it really racism or is it just responding to reality?
Yeah,
right?
It's racism. No, it's true. Bad. And gay people do the same thing. It's like you have to believe that, like, the plight of the homosexual in this country has been so tough and so brutal. Because if you didn't have that in your head, oh, we have to feel bad for them, you look at the way they behave and it's like, why are they doing that? Just stop. Just stop. Like,
I just
why
don't
are you
like your behavior.
That
that's
yeah,
all.
Just stop.
Yeah, there was a funny TikTok that I saw that was like me finally getting the courage to, like, come out as gay, and then it went, like, cut, and it was like realizing I now have to date gay people. Like, it was like the sadness, like, yeah, like realizing, like, it's like, oh yeah, you got the courage to come out. Congratulations, and now you're realizing what, like, now you're in this community. You want to be in that? You want that shit? Like, there's that's why we even have gay people watch the show that are like that too. Like, they don't want that. But what's kind of crazy is, like, it's like people always use the outliers. It's the gay community and the black community and a lot of things where people use the outliers. Like that's why it's like prejudice. It's not just like people walk around being like, I hate you because you like men. You don't walk around. It's like, no, your behavior and what you're doing, it's the collective group that you've made, the overall trends of your group, I don't like. And it makes me prejudice. It makes me initially, like, when I meet you, I'm thinking I'm not going to like you. Like, I'm not going to like you because most people who are like this are kind of a certain way that I think is not only good and bad for society, but also is just annoying, right? It's actually annoying. And so to be like, yeah, well, I know my director of You Are Here is a lesbian. I love her so much. She's such a precious girl. I love her. I love her a lot. So it's like, no, I don't walk around just like hating people because they're just gay and I hate them. I understand we do live in a society where it's free, but you know what? It's not her identity. She doesn't walk around and be like, hi, I'm a lesbian. It's just something that she has in her life. And you know what? So I am maybe a little more, maybe on that regards, a little more like neoliberal in the fact that I can understand and be friends with people who are different than me, where a lot of people can't. But it's like just like, and Eric July, like, I mean, I love this, it's always white people, like, I have a black friend. It's like, no, Eric July's base. I love that guy.
Are you friends?
Why is that? Yeah, they're like, oh, you racists always be like, I have black friends. What a low bar for racism. Like, doesn't that defeat your whole argument?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like so it's not like, it's an intellectual laziness of saying like, oh, because you're calling out the negative behavior of a collective group, you hate everyone who looks that way, which is just absolutely retarded to even believe.
So stupid.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's like, oh, you, they've always said that to me. Like, the panel we were on, that guy was like, you guys, hey, gay people. It's like, oh, no, we never said that.
Well, think about that. If homophobia and racism and all these things didn't exist, then they would actually have to take personal accountability and actually do some self-reflection. But they just don't want to do that. They don't want to admit to themselves that their behavior is the cause of the hate and that people don't like them because of their behavior. Racism and homophobia gives them the excuse to continued said behavior that people just don't like. And they hide behind the word homophobia so that they don't have to take that personal accountability and actually change their behaviors. That's all it is.
And then when they take power, they write the history books like, your grandparents weren't as smart as you, little Timmy, who's 5 years old learning about this. They just looked at these people and thought, they look different. I'm going to get really mad. That's all they thought. And you're 5 years old, you're like, that's stupid. I know better than that. That's now so mean. Our kids are going to be learning, well, they just looked at two men holding hands and they just got so mad about, well, maybe, but you get the point. It's like, it's always,
that's
right.
Why does that image exist? But that's the point. It's always being pushed in your face. And that's the same thing too, where it's like, I'm not going into like a black city and being like, I don't like you guys. And it's like, you couldn't do that. No, well, actually, take that back, Sav. We did go into black cities and we're like, oh shit, people live here. But I will say, I was crazy. I'm like, it's wild because I've never felt like there are some. Like, dude, like, I almost got knocked out in a bar in Philadelphia in this rough suburb by this white guy. Like, it was like, I've been in some rough areas, but it wasn't for any other reason. The fact that I asked him to make me a Moscow mule. And so then he had just assumed I was homosexual and got mad at me. Like, the bartender, he really was like, what do you want? He was like, what do you want?
That's
you want a Moscow, a mule? What do you think this is? And I was like, oh shit. Like, this guy was like, he literally said you to me. And he was like genuinely upset. And I was like, and he was telling me like, we have beer. And he was like, we have beer and whiskey. And what do you want? You want it straight? I was like, oh shit. This guy he was like, literally, it was like, he almost kicked me out of his bar.
I'll
so
never
I'm like,
forget the piece of advice you gave me at, I think it was the Cernovich party in DC in like early 2020. Cause I never drank before I met you. And so I was like, I don't
me
know.
Me neither.
I was like, I don't
met
know.
Myself and was like, hey, what is this
I was
this
like,
stuff?
I don't know what to get. And you're like, hold on, I'll get you something. So you got me like this drink and you told me, you were like, this isn't a girl's drink. It's a gay drink. And here's why. And you explained like the differences. And you were like, remember, it's always better to be gay than to be a girl. And you like handed me the drink. And I was like, that's so true. Like, if you had to pick.
But I think what that drink was, if I remember, that was
it's like orange juice and vodka.
I think it's Sex on the Beach. I think that's what it was.
I don't know.
That sounds pretty gay.
Yeah.
It was definitely very
but
gay.
But if you don't drink, that's a good drink to give somebody. That's why it's a girl's drink. Girls don't drink often that much. They don't like putting gasoline. It's like literal gasoline. Like, you're just, like, whiskey is literal just poison gas. And it's
no,
like,
it's like the masculine urge to just suffer.
Yeah, it's like
the more you
suffer,
so
good.
The better the drink
is. Being a man is about never being comfortable.
Yeah.
Just cold showers, sitting on steel wool, just never be comfortable.
Dude, literally, you gotta exercise, you know, 8 days a week, 25 hours a day, sleep on the ceiling, you know what I mean?
I was telling
you, gotta
John
cut
about
your
this.
Dick off.
My favorite example of this is bodybuilder Jay Cutler. I watched this video about his like eating habits, and he's just like, yeah, man, like the hardest part of my day is just getting all the calories in. Like, You know, most people like to spice their foods up or, you know, add some seasoning to it. Not me, man. I just like to just eat it raw and it tastes horrible, but I love it. And he's just like talking about how horrible the experience yeah. is, but he doesn't care. He doesn't, yeah, like, he doesn't want to add liver spice. Man. He wants to literally suffer.
He's like, dude, I watched this one guy on TikTok. He's like called, like, I think like Liver Man or like all
night. Oh, Liver King.
Liver King. Yeah, he's like, he's like, listen, on my meal today, it'll start out like pretty good. He'll be like, we have a tomahawk Wagyu steak. I'm like, all right, we're good. He goes, a bull testicle raw. I gotta eat it raw. Liver raw. And you're like, okay. Look, I understand. I'm not the healthiest person in the world. I am never really gonna probably eat a raw cow testicle. Like, I don't. Savannah,
honestly, I would try anything once. I've had raw liver and stuff just to try.
I've had raw liver.
Like
it's not good.
It.
I've had raw yeah. liver, but
try,
raw
try,
testicle.
Try anything once.
Yeah, try anything once. That's how we got AIDS.
Yeah, literally, yeah. All of a sudden, I'll try sex with a man once. Yeah.
Okay, we're talking about food. Relax.
Yeah, we're
talking about relax.
Hey, calm down, Dan. Hey. Calm down.
How would you know if you'd rupture your airway from sucking a Hulk-sized dick unless you tried it?
Well, that is why they called him a hero.
He is a hero.
I'm thinking that whole article.
I love how that's the standard for like being a hero in the gay community.
He just wanted to be uncomfortable,
resilience.
Though.
Yeah, resilience. Yeah, even if he's gay, he still wanted to be uncomfortable.
He's just suffering for the masculine urge.
Yeah, he just really is like, if I'm going to be gay, it's going to be the most painful gay ever. He's like, rupturing your airway with a cock, that's crazy.
I bet that's not even true, too. I bet he just like did that because he was being stupid and then he wanted attention. And then he just like invented that.
Gays wanting attention.
No, you
zone?
Could
what?
You any. I mean, you could rupture your airway probably by just eating like something too sharp. Well, because penises are not sharp.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I don't believe that he actually did that. I think it's much.
Savannah,
more
you
want to
weigh in on this?
Invented that.
I don't have anything to say about this dick sucking conversation.
Seen a penis in her life.
I'm a child of God. Like, stop trying to bring me into this conversation. Just
of, like,
stop.
I know, Sav's going to get screwed when she ends up having a permanent seat on the show and somebody else is switching the show because that's just our lives, our stupid little lives. Anyway, if you make it this far in the podcast, don't forget to leave a 5-star review. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. It helps us out so much. We did a little bit of a longer episode today because our advertising agency somehow put more ads than we were supposed to ever have in a show, which we get more of John Doyle. John Doyle, if people want more of you, where can they follow you? They want more. We all want more of John. Thanks for coming on for your first time, by the way.
Thank you for having me. We said some pretty edgy things today, didn't we? YouTube.com/John Doyle. You want to know some more things about MLK? I'm going to post that video. Just so you wait, I'm doing a whole breakdown of Martin Luther King, the civil rights movement, what actually happened, not what your elementary school teacher who memorizes things that was written by liberal bureaucrats told you happened, the truth of it. So you can check that out on my channel. Probably if you're watching this on Friday afternoon, it should be up Friday night, maybe around then. So
okay, good. You're watching this on Friday, so watch this a couple hours after this comes out, and then all the people just can you can support Aldo at onlyfans.com.
Celebrated men's rights activist.
They can find me here. Yeah, men's rights activist. You can find me here. And
dude, we should come with a new title. Every time you're on the show, we should make up a new thing that you do. Be like sports journalist Aldo Buzzoni. Welcome to the show. Just
aspiring astronaut.
Yeah.
Beetle documenter. Beetle journaler. Aldo.
Yeah. Literally, like an underwater cartographer. You know, like just come up with new. Titles.
Racist.
I'm going to start doing that. Yeah. Resident
racist.
No, but honestly, that's so good. And make sure if you leave those reviews, we will read them on the show probably. So we have a few of them here. I think we have two. Let's read the first one from White Male Scum 5. Says, amazing. I can't get enough of the cock in my face or COC in my face. Love this podcast. And you are here. That's good to know. I'm glad you like to watch both of the shows and you love the COC. That's the only reason why John comes on. Olivia Claire, people say, can you get through an episode of Slightly Offensive without making gay references? No, actually it's Savannah. It's in the script, right? Our script is just so you know, it's like
just gay shit.
No, like the way that she designs it, we have like a few topics that we've been on. It's just like Biden, COVID, culture, crime, gay shit. And that's like, that's literally just what we talk about as of right now. That's the most like American thing I've ever, like ever. COVID, crime, Biden.
Gay shit?
You
gay
are
shit.
Here.
That's
it
like,
shouldn't
that's
be.
It's literally
it
America.
It shouldn't be, but
that's
it is.
America. Yeah. We have one more review from Olivia Claire H that said, based very loudly. I watch Elijah on Slightly Offensive and you are here. I'm so glad I stumbled upon Elijah's content. He provides humor while still challenging ideas that are common in society. He challenges the establishment while keeping listeners entertained. He has frequent guests that I may not have heard of before, but I am able to discover new people. Not to mention Sav is hilarious and provides insight as a female. That as a female, I appreciate. They have a wonderful give and take that makes the best podcast ever. That is so amazing. Thank you so much for leaving those 5-star reviews. Also, remember, you can become an official SOB at blazetv.com/Elijah. Get $10 off a subscription. Finally make the jump. Help us fight censorship and fund the show. As like we are demonetized everywhere, but we're trying to make the show live and hire an extra person so we can do that and interact with you guys in real time and have long episodes like this, an hour and a half every single week. So if you like that, make sure that you support us there. Anyway, my name is Elijah Schaefer, your top 17 host. Make sure you follow me and Savannah everywhere in the links in the description. You can also follow Savannah's podcast, Rapid Fire, which apparently a lot of you guys have been taking the jump, where I've been telling you guys, watch her podcast or listen to her podcast, show her some support. And Savannah, you've been finding more and more support, I think, right?
I have. Everyone's been so sweet.
Yeah, the SOBs have been really doing that cross support for that, and I've been really appreciating it, as her role here is changing, but she's not going anywhere. So I'm happy about that. You'll be hearing a lot more from her on the show. Anyway, have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.